This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
That was too penal.
I'm all penal. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
Were you impressed with my cornholing?
It's all that practice with the thermometer. My amazing producers, our fearless leader, RJ Santillo.
Good job, me.
Oh, good job, you. How about the very handsome, very single ladies, Raymond Santiago.
Wine connoisseur.
Did I mention sophisticated? Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Did you know it's La Quinta?
I'm pretty sure we all did. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776.
Don't you talk about my Dave.
I'll say whatever I want about your Dave, Carol. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
Switch it up a bit, fatty.
Oh, I'll switch it up. Took the Yankees 11 innings, but they wrap up their series with the Diamondbacks with a win and head home 6-1 to start their season. Mets were postponed yet again. They'll play two today versus Detroit. First pitch is this afternoon at 12:10. Rangers and Devils treated us to a good old-fashioned line brawl.
Dave the killer!
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Knicks look to get back on track tonight. The Garden versus Sacramento. 7 games left. Knicks are a half game back of Orlando for the 4th seed and a game behind Cleveland for the 3rd. Stephon Diggs has a new home, and I'm really excited for him. And as always, on the Thursday at 7:45, we have an observation that did happen in Florida. A big-time station ID at 8. RJ's world-famous bleep you missed around 9:15. But before we get to all that, I figured since we have the Masters right around the corner, I'd see if any of the guys would like to take a trip down to Augusta with me.
Palmetto sandwich?
No, it's pimento sandwich. There's no such thing as a palmetto sandwich.
I mean, we could do a little edible or smoke a little boubange.
It's not that kind of trip.
My pants are all wet.
Oh, you're definitely not coming. How about you, RJ?
Now I'm going to stay in Oakland because I ain't got no stadium.
Well, you enjoy Oakland. Raymond?
Well, he
football
is.
Here is.
Of course. Looks like I'm going by myself. Here he is, my very debaucherous best friend, the one and only David Rothenberg.
They just get better and better, these openings. They just get better and better.
No joke. Not even lying.
Yeah.
That was one page from the last 2 days.
That was only 2 days?
2 days.
Wow. That was very well done. Of all the drops you used, you know which is the one that actually made me chuckle the most?
Penal.
Nope.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what. It was not from this side of the room.
Oh, it's from that side.
Yep.
Wine connoisseur?
Yeah.
Wine connoisseur?
Connoisseur.
Connoisseur. Hey,
by the way,
kind of see you.
By the way.
Yeah.
By the way.
Mm-hmm. Should I clap?
Round of applause. No, this is for you.
Oh. Just, you know what? And
what
rightfully,
you did,
and rightfully
what
so.
What you did yesterday.
Yep, that's
I
right.
pride myself on being the MVP of the big Wednesday meeting. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. In the longest meeting in the history of this show's existence.
That's right.
A meeting that we had a verbal agreement in the bathroom as we peed side by side.
Yes.
That no one would say a word.
Yep.
Because we wanted out as fast
as possible.
In and
out. That's right. Let's go.
Did not happen.
No.
Was that meeting an hour? No.
Pretty much.
That meeting was like an hour and 15 minutes.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was. I got
no,
here.
It was not.
I got on the street at 11:15. On the street at 11:15.
Was it over an hour?
It was long. MVP of the meeting?
That's right. Who?
Dave Rothenberg.
That's right.
One of the funniest things ever said in a meeting.
That's right. It was genius level. I actually said two things. The first one wasn't all that funny. You guys walked into the meeting. RJ is keeled over. Keeled over. And then when I delivered my line of the day to win the meeting, I thought RJ was having a stroke. He was laughing so hard. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was not any win.
It was a great line.
One of the great lines in the timing and how fast you said it.
Yeah.
The look on your face.
That's right.
I shook your hand afterwards.
And the delivery.
I was so proud of
you. Well, as you should be. It's like you birthed me and raised me, and I was on my way to college. You're like, all right, now you're ready. And I walk into college, and the fraternities are like, come on in. And all the professors are like, we see you as an A-plus student. And you're like, you know what? You can go on your own now.
It was a verbal sparring back and
That's
forth,
right.
And then boom, out of nowhere, ended it. one-punch knockout.
It was a good line. So, speaking of a one-punch knockout, we didn't have a one-punch knockout, but we did have some fisticuffs at the Garden last night.
Oh, we did.
Oh, yeah, we
more
did.
More fisticuffs. That was nice.
Now, the thing I like about it is these are the fighters, and these guys went up against
each
other.
Well, not necessarily. I don't think these are the fighters.
What do you mean?
You have two guys on the team that are the fighters. You have McDermott and you have
Well, that's what I'm saying. But those were the fights.
It just so happens that, I mean, it was all five guys that fought, and the person that got most excited to fight was Jimmy Vesey, because he got to stay in the game because he was the first fight, and then everyone else. The problem with that, and I'm sure we'll take phone calls because I listened to it this morning, and people, I didn't turn on the TV to watch a line brawl. Well,
It's part of the game.
Well, here's the thing. You can't compare the NHL to every other sport because fighting is not legal in every other sport. And as much as they try to legislate fighting out of the NHL, they're never going to legislate fighting completely out of the NHL. They've already had, you don't have, the tough guys for each team kind of deciding before a game when they're going to fight. We're past, I think, that.
Right. Well, I felt like this was kind of predetermined.
This was different, though.
Yeah.
This was something that was brewing.
Well, this is retribution for what Rampy had done to the Devils a couple times. Yeah.
There was a score to be settled. And rather than let this thing play out where someone's going to do something stupid running around and one of your best players is going to end up getting hurt, let's get it out of our systems now. Right?
Yeah, let's go play hockey.
And let's play. The problem with what happened was you end up losing Trouba and Miller, who are, two-year, three best defensemen.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So that hurts, but Rangers found a way. You know what it ends up being, though, too? It ends up being, as we get closer to the playoffs here, there are going to be teams that try to take advantage of the Rangers.
If you have nothing to lose and you're going up against the Rangers who have everything to lose.
No, I'm even saying the playoffs. The Devils were on their last leg. Like, the Devils needed to win that game.
Right, feels like they're done.
But they also had a score to settle. And rather than let it fester, I think part of it probably was, too, is that Peter Laviolette looks at what Rempe's done a couple times and said, I can understand why they're upset. Let's let them get their retribution. We did the same thing against the Penguins.
Right.
I got in that fight. Guys on my team didn't like how they reacted after I got knocked out. And then it was known before the game that we're going to fight.
It's almost like I don't even know what the right phraseology would be, but it's almost like you lay down the gauntlet. It's like, this is going to happen. We feel you've wronged us. And then the Rangers, out of respect for the game, are like, you know what? Let's go.
Absolutely right. You listen to Brendan Smith talking about it after the game. It's the NHL. It's hard to explain to anyone that hasn't played just hockey in general, the amount of respect. There were questions to, why is Rempe fighting so much? Or why did Matt Martin give him that opportunity? Well, because it's a respect thing. Like, when Matt Martin came into the league, there was a certain way that he was going to get to keep his job, and some of that would include fighting. And he was able, because someone allowed him the opportunity to fight. Now, all of a sudden, guys are like, wow, we need that guy because he's tough. He did the same thing for Rempe, trying to get his team going. Rempe trying to establish himself. The other thing I'll say to this is, like I mentioned earlier, as the Rangers get into the postseason here, and you're playing a team like Florida, and I tell you all the time, to win a championship, you have to have versatility in your game. If a team wants to play fast, you can play fast. Last year, what happened against the Devils was you couldn't contain their speed. They're beating you off the rush. You have to find, whatever way the team you're playing is trying to play, you have to have a counter for that. There are going to be teams that go after the Rangers, try to be hard on Panarin, try to be hard on Adam Fox. You have to have a level of toughness. And what that did for me last night was prove that this team is ready to take on that challenge. In a moment like that, where all five guys, and you saw them in the box afterwards, Keandre Miller laughing. They were on board to do what they did last night, and they actually enjoyed it. That's going to galvanize your team, because it's not easy to fight. And you want to know that you have guys on your team that are going to do whatever it is they need to do to win or protect you. And I'm telling you, man, a moment like that, they'll be talking about that game as a group. That's a memory you'll have for the rest of your life, that you'll talk about it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's some kind of a bizarre bonding, right?
It's not bizarre.
It's weird that you're bonding over physical violence, though.
It doesn't matter, though. It's like the same. You spend so much time around your teammates, they become your family and your closest friends. So it would be the same in any walk of life. If you have a close friend that you feel like got wronged, and then, there's an opportunity. Now, it's different because fighting in the NHL is legal. Or if someone gets in your buddy's face, right, you want to protect your buddy. So the Devils wanted to get payback for what Rempe did.
Right.
And the guys are like, we're not going to make you do this on your own. We all want to be a part of this. And, again, all five fought. The Rempe fight was
feels
a battle.
In some way, it was very gentlemanly. Like Rempe wasn't playing the last couple games. He was a healthy scratch, and then the Rangers were like, you know, we're going to make him healthy, and then the Devils did the same with their guy, and now we dance. Now we go.
Well, I think the last thing you would want to have happen if you're Peter Laviolette, know going into the game that the Devils feel a certain way, and then...
Have them go after one of your guys.
Well, not only that, like, it just ends up being, okay, you know, before the game, Devils are like, you know, if they don't want to fight, then we're going to make them pay, and they're running around, you know, hitting guys, and then, God forbid, someone...
That's what I'm saying.
...steps over the line and someone gets hurt.
Adam Fox. I mean,
right, this way we... That's,
right. Here's your guy. If you want to go after him, go after him. They did. I didn't hear this. I bet you this is entertaining. Alex Faustin and Dave Maloney. Dave has to be excitable. Let's hear how it sounded right here on 98.7 ESPN.
And everybody is on their feet. The gloves are dropped. We've got a line brawl. Jimmy Vesey and it looks like Curtis Lazar at the center red line. Meanwhile, Rempe and McDermott drop the gloves outside the circle. Goodrow has picked up Kevin Ball. Jacob Trouba has picked up Chris Tierney. And back in the Rangers zone, you've got Keandre Miller and John Marino. The main event is just beyond the New Jersey blue line.
Oh, boy. Keandre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
And there are not enough stripes to get a hold of everybody.
I knew it. I hadn't heard him. I knew it. Keandre Miller is beating the daylights out of Marino.
Yeah, and you saw Keandre Miller in the penalty box as they're all sitting in the penalty box with a big smile on his face. In a weird way, this is going to sound crazy to say this, in a weird way, it's probably the safer alternative to have do it that way.
Then rather have just a fight spur of the moment in the game or a dirty play or something?
Or just, like a guy with the right intentions to go in and hit somebody. Like, I want to send the message physically, and then, God forbid... guy turns up the boards, gets it for like just something stupid like that to have happen. So let's avoid that. We know what they want. Let's give them what they want.
That's
and
right.
Then let's move on.
Here's your pound of flesh. If you can beat him up, go ahead. Felt like it was a pretty even fight and went on for a long time.
It did. That was a long fight.
I mean,
do you know how hard that is?
I can only imagine.
You feel like you're going to throw up.
I'm sure.
You know what the hardest part for this for me when we talk about stuff like this is to actually explain to you. Like the mindset of a guy like a Rempe or a McDermott or guys like that I played with. Like, I'll never forget, I played with, and they end up being like my closer friends, like Eric Goddard, who was one of the toughest guys I've ever met in my entire life. Nicest guy, gentle giant. You put him on the ice and you watch him fight, you're like, whoa, like this guy is the toughest guy you've ever seen in your life. But there are certain guys, and you hear stories, like they're all buddies. And they knew going in, we're going to fight. And then after the game, still buddies.
I don't know how they do that. If that was me, and I had to fight some, like, I would build up the most bizarre hatred you've ever seen. And then if a guy smashed me, I would have like a voodoo doll at home with him and hate him.
No, here's the thing though. The guys that you hate are the guys that won't give you the opportunity. That like will run around like a Sean Avery, will run around and be dirty.
Well, kind of the cowardly players.
Well, yeah, and then when you try to.
Then they don't want it.
They don't want it. But these guys, it's a bad...
Well, good for them. I think there's a lot of respect in the game. And I saw so many... Even Winthrop in the group chat. Oh, I don't like fighting. I don't turn it on for fighting. It was 2 minutes of fighting.
Well, here's what they got to understand, though, too. They've done... The NHL doesn't necessarily want to have fighting in the game.
Well,
But they recognize how entertaining it is for the people.
Well, not only that, you remember this. In your lifetime, the amount of fighting from 20 years ago to what it is now is greatly diminished. I mean, when I was just getting into hockey... And a lot of people, I'm sure some do, a lot don't. There was the team in Philadelphia, the Broad Street Bullies. They won cups based on being this physical, maniacal, fighting, dirty, over the top team, right? So now every team doesn't have multiple enforcers. You have like maybe
you have
a guy.
Guys that can play that are also tough,
right?
You have to be able to play,
right?
You can't be a liability. You're not going to waste a spot on a guy that can't go out there and actually play.
I got to tell you, so you get moved early on. Rangers, they take a 2-0 lead. I'm like, great, you know what? Then it's 2-1, 2-2, 3-2. I'm sitting there, I'm like, if they lose this game, I'm going to be livid. I would have been furious. And what a goal from Kako.
No,
I thought it was a great shot.
If I'm the goalie, not...
That's a bad goal from the goalie.
Not one that I would necessarily like to let in.
Okay. I thought it was a brilliant shot.
It ends up being a good shot. I mean, puck was kind of rolling there.
I thought the defenseman didn't have a stick. He was trying to, like, body
it. I actually thought how the whole play developed on the winning goal. Like, that's a pretty goal. Crowder going to the net, pass for a tip,
right.
Ends up scoring the game winner. But
Lafreniere's playing some good hockey,
too. Great hockey. That line in general, man. 5-on-5, It's one of, I mean, that might, you can make the argument that's the best 5-on-5 line in the NHL right now.
Well, production-wise. The big question, I guess it's a question, this is unfortunate, is Panarin, right? You clearly he's one of the top couple of players in the regular season in the game. What is he going to be in the postseason?
Well, yeah, because all eyes are going to be on him.
Right.
And I mean, that's that you say to yourself with the struggles of Mika's line 5-on-5, if we can, I mean, we slow that line down, right? You slow down that Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line, and we like our chances.
6 games left.
That's it.
I mean, let's get ready. 5-point lead in the division. And
for all the people, too, that complain about this, we've done the studies. Like, during negotiations, we've done the studies.
Right.
Because the NHL doesn't necessarily want the fighting, but it always, the studies always come back that the people love the fighting.
Well, how popular is UFC?
Well, forget UFC, but it's, I mean, what baseball, which is, I mean, it's not necessarily always leading SportsCenter, right? Did it lead SportsCenter when Rougned Odor punched Jose Bautista in the face?
Oh, yeah, it did.
Of course it did. I mean, it kind of sucks that this is that would be the thing that
you
would focus on.
But people are, I mean, people are not typically moved by the ordinary. You know, 62 home runs, that moves people. A brawl, which you don't see all the
time. Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark. Like, you're moved by the unordinary or the violent or the physical. And listen, whether you like it or not, that's the truth. That's what a lot of people are turned on by is some of the fighting. So I get it. I don't need it, but to have it every once in a while, I think is somewhat entertaining.
Right. It's a rarity, right? So you don't get a chance to see it much. So when you do get to see it,
right,
you're paying attention.
There are 2-3 fights a game at different stages every game. Like, you know what? I don't need this. But once in a while, I have zero issue
with it. Well, also when you have like real actual hatred.
Yeah,
like you
and,
get to see
and there
that.
Was retribution last
like
night,
how many
right?
How many people do we listen to that are so sick? Oh, the jersey swaps, guys shaking hands after
I hate that.
These guys, these two teams last night hated each other.
You know, but there's nothing cooler than hating a player, the opposition, opposing fans for 7 games. Game 7 ends, you shake hands at the end. That hockey gets so many things right. And I think people are finally starting to realize it.
Yeah, well, so I love the sport.
Well, I know why you love the sport. You played the sport at such a high level. From brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that big win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
And the Rangers have won their 51st of the year.
Go to Tommy in Connecticut. Hey, good morning, Tom.
It's going to have to be Panarin. It's going to have to be Lafreniere growing up. Taco's got to play. And Chris Kreider's got to be Chris Kreider. Those are the guys that are going to have to be themselves through the playoffs if they're going to make a run.
Dave, I love you, and you call often, and you're a good
it's
caller.
Tom. But that's not Dave. It's Tom.
That's what I meant. I'm Dave.
Yeah. You're
yeah. Right.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Canadian Yankees fan tweets in, you and some of my fellow Yankees fans got to stop bringing up Mariano Rivera in comparison. It's fine. Edwin Diaz. Like, when I look at the... I'll say this. If you said, give me the five best closers in baseball, Clay Holmes not on that list for me.
Bader's not off to a great start.
Harrison Bader? Who are you talking about?
No, Hader.
Oh, Hader. I think you said Bader.
I did say Bader. I meant Hader.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but you would
take... The Mets don't play. We don't have to worry about Harrison Bader.
They're going to play two today,
play
maybe.
Play two today.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Noon. And they signed Teron.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, they recognize. They need some help.
Starting staff is a little bit of a mess. Email from Steve B. I love Rick, but why is he always giving you such a hard time? I love the show. I listen every morning. Today's my birthday, and if I get a chance, I want to call in and talk to the best people on the radio. I love you guys. That's nice.
Today's his birthday.
Today's his birthday,
happy
Steve
birthday.
B. So, yeah, very happy birthday for Steve B. A tweet that I also received. Where was this? This is interesting. Vinny Jones tweets in, I know someone that wouldn't send a wedding gift until a year after you were married to make sure that this thing was going to make it and last.
That's not the intention of the wedding gift. The intention of the wedding gift is I'm inviting you to the wedding and paying a certain amount of money for you to be at the wedding.
So you're kind of replenishing their funds right. for your going to the wedding.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
For supplying
you with I know someone
a great
who,
party.
Who was married and within 6 months was divorced. And I said to Sherry, can we ask for our wedding gift back? She's like, no, you don't.
There's
you
no refunds, though.
You can't do that.
No.
So once you're in, you're in.
Once you're in, you're in.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like, once you commit, then wedding gift has to be.
Wouldn't you feel, like, if you got married, not that you would, and I know your relationship is so great, but if you got married and within 6 months you were divorced, would you feel at all like maybe you should return the wedding presents?
No, no.
You keep them and you're spending that money like it's going out of business.
Yeah, we're probably splitting the money.
Yeah, I guess.
It wouldn't be my money anymore. But
well,
yeah,
unless you have spent it in the first 6 months of marriage.
Yeah. No, I think it's just more like you're going to the wedding, which they paid for, and you got to imagine whatever. I mean, isn't that how you usually do the math? Like, what do you think the plate, you know, what each plate is going to cost? And then that.
I don't know.
I usually have a standard that I give, but I'm just saying, like, some people will be like, okay, you know, I'm going plus one. This is how much I think the plate's going to cost. Let's give this much money.
Yeah, maybe, but I just, I don't know if the wedding goes south quickly. There's no sort of refund policy.
Yeah, but I don't think it was. I mean, you can't blame them though.
Like, well, what do you mean? Can't
money,
blame
but
them.
It wasn't a scam.
No, I agree with that. It wasn't a scam. But if you know what, if I buy a refrigerator and 6 months in this thing is broken, I'm still gonna return it. I don't think it was a scam from
right,
where I bought
no,
it from.
Right, I understand that, but there's no guarantee that when you go to a wedding that the wedding's gonna last.
But, okay, 4 years, fine. Under 6 months? That's a tremendous failure.
And I'm sure they feel like that. But they're also your friends, and you don't want them to be unhappy.
Well, I'm unhappy, then they have my money.
Well, but you enjoyed a beautiful party.
It was a nice party.
Right. Had the nice hors d'oeuvres, all of it.
Yeah, all of it.
Danced, drank.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. Well, it was nice, but, I mean, you got to feel a certain way.
Well, how about maybe what you do is you assess the situation.
Maybe they send gift cards to everybody.
Well, maybe you get the invite, and you're like, I don't think this is going to last. We're going to say no.
But even if you say no, we still give a gift, a lesser gift.
Well,
we still give a
saying.
Gift.
You're probably not giving the same kind of gift when you don't go.
Right. You have any weddings coming up?
No.
You're performing?
I'm done.
Nothing.
Yeah, I'm out.
Nothing on the docket.
Nothing on the docket.
Uh-huh. RJ always has weddings. Nobody goes
more,
to more weddings.
One more big time bachelor party.
Big time. Is Perna married yet, RJ?
No.
When does he get married?
No, Perna's my one of my best friends in the whole world. Back in Rochester. No,
he likes
married
me.
At the end of June. Yeah,
he's a big Bills fan, right?
Yeah, his claim to fame that
he
he
loves the Bills.
We still talk about he and Dave had a spirited football debate on the dance floor.
Yeah, we were not dancing
That's
together,
nice.
But yes.
Yeah, you do whatever's best for you.
Well, you had that dancing little sprite guy that was just hosting the whole thing.
Well, because you know why?
So he was taller.
You said that.
Yep. Well, that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
smart,
it was very well thought out by you.
not my approach.
If I hire a really little guy to run point as the MC, I now become a giant. It's genius.
You know, it was my intent.
Mm-hmm.
We were just overtaken by his
energy.
But
when you saw that guy kind of like, you know, tweedle out onto the dance floor, his legs like, like you were like, yes.
Tell you what, though.
That's our guy.
Yeah. A lot of energy.
Oh,
he was.
Well, he has to.
He was hopped up on something.
Yeah.
No one has that kind of energy.
what are you accusing him of?
You know exactly what I'm accusing him of.
What? Drugs?
You think he got involved with
that
Dave?
That was more than a Red Bull.
A little edible or smoke a little Bubon?
No,
see, I think those things kind of relax you. No, he was doing
Dunk crack?
Yeah, that, yes.
Now we're talking. Did I have a good weekend?
I peed my pants that day.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does every drop have me laughing in the background every time?
Because it's funny. Because it's funny. RJ's wedding was fun. Ray, I can't wait for your wedding. I'm not even giving you a hard time. Like, I legitimately would be so excited to go to your wedding.
I don't know. I think you'd be disappointed.
Raymond, disappointed?
Raymond, we have to, whatever we decide to do for the menu, we have to try to incorporate the family coffee into the menu.
Well, that would be with the dessert.
I'm not going to make the family.
No, but
work
you, make a delicious delicious mole with
my coffee. First cousin, and he just handed me beans.
Yeah. And then he's got the freaky cousin.
Did you say you could use the coffee as a mole?
A mole, yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
it's a sauce, the mole sauce.
Oh, yeah. Like they use in Mexican restaurants? Yeah.
It's delicious.
We're not Mexican.
No, I'm saying, but I'm trying to find things you can incorporate coffee into, you animal.
It's
how about tiramisu?
Hey, wait.
Tiramisu.
At weddings, what do they say? Would you like some coffee? How about that?
Well, yeah.
How about
I'm
that's
saying,
how you incorporate the coffee?
No, it's like when you go to a brewery.
What if they develop it into a Malay?
No. I almost just blew snot onto the microphone. I'm saying, like, when you go to a brewery, they incorporate the different beers into the food, into the menu. Say, maybe you incorporate the family coffee into stuff that's on the menu.
Okay, or maybe you just use the family coffee, what it's meant to be used
for,
coffee.
That's a wedding gift. We
like a coffee-dusted filet.
Everyone gets a bag.
Coffee-dusted steak.
That'd be nice. You walk out, you get a nice bag of coffee. Or a cup just waiting for you, a hot cup of Joe as you leave. How nice would that be?
Be great.
Would be nice. Buffalo World tweets in.
Ray does not care for your ideas.
What is your
as if it's going to happen anyway? Do we have to worry about it?
What is your gift to the couple? Is a contract of whatever your monetary gift is broken down yearly. So if you're going to give $500, they get $100 at the wedding, and the next 4 years on their anniversary, give another $100. I don't want to be paying out for 5 years.
Oh,
it's like the Ohtani contract.
What is this? A contract? Guaranteed money at the altar?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Imagine if that was like the option when you went on the site. It's like, we're going to defer payment. We're going to want, take 100 now.
Well, it's like a layaway plan.
The Rothenbergs have agreed with the Santiago's
Santiago's.
Yeah, a $1,000 gift guaranteed with kickers to earn another $2,000 in coming years.
But that would be nice. It's like we'll give you $200 at the wedding, and then if you make it for 5 years, another $200. Yeah, incentive laden contract.
There'd be a lot less
like
divorces.
The Hassan Reddick contract.
There'd be a lot less divorces. Like, no, we can't. We have the option.
We have to make it 10 years, Barbara. Why? Because we got to get our next installment.
That would be pretty funny.
That would be funny.
Why are you guys still together? Well, these incentives won't kick in for another 2 years.
And how about if the incentive now makes a marriage or two work? Like 6 years in, Barbara, terribly annoying. 10 years in, now I really do love her.
Meanwhile, Barbara's got a boyfriend on the side. They hate each other.
What if people talked about it that way? Well, the Johnson family, I mean, you know, Greg and Tiffany aren't getting along. He can get out from under that contract in the next year.
There's too much. There's going to be too much.
Are you going to divorce her? I can't.
There's going to be too much money on the books.
I'm too dialed in here now.
The Williams family, it's like the Buffalo situation. Going to pay her $30 million like Steph Diggs to get out from that marriage.
You know what else? And I know that this happens a lot. But I would never, ever sign a prenup, ever. I don't care how much money I had.
You say that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I can say it because I didn't go in with a lot of money.
Right, because the people that handle your money will
demand.
Yeah.
I just feel like, I don't know, it's such a bad signal. Like, I want to marry you. I love you. I trust you. But financially,
well, no, I mean,
you can't get your hands on this.
No, no. It's to protect you for what you bring into the marriage. In case you just she doesn't feel the way you feel. Or for whatever reason, that doesn't work. Like, how would you feel if you love this person, you don't sign the prenup, you got a ton of money, all of a sudden, 6 months in, year in, you find out she cheated on you, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
And you're still, now you got to give her half of it.
Yeah, but I'd be heartbroken, like the money would be irrelevant at that point.
No,
I'd be so heartbroken.
No.
RJ, there's no way you signed a prenup, right?
Could you imagine signing that check?
Could you? I can't imagine signing a prenup.
No, I didn't. I didn't sign a prenup, but I think
Rick's
point.
Well, he wouldn't sign it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Rick's point is he probably knows people. Like if you're rolling into this thing with a net worth with two commas, I think it. You know, people probably.
So Winthrop just chimed in. He said, "So what's happening is Rick saying he has a prenup."
No, I'm saying I played professional sport. Like all the guys, most of the guys on my team that had a lot of money had prenups.
Yeah, I remember Chris talking about this when he worked with us, too.
Because stuff can happen.
Yeah, it's a lot more common, I think, in that world, Dave.
It probably is.
But it also makes it easier. Like, it's also like a roadmap as to what, if God forbid something happens.
But it feels like it's a contract you're signing to admit that there's going to be problems down the road here.
But it also makes it easier. Like, by the time, if it gets to a point where it's so bad between the two of you, where you just want to be done with the marriage, it's not usually on good terms, so this actually gives you a way to get it done where it's not like you're fighting over things. Like, this is what you signed.
You're probably right. It just, I don't know, it feels so foreign and strange to me. You're probably right. Got a nice email from Greg M. He says, every time you do the RJ, RJ, I can't help but laugh out loud. You're the best. I even like Ray, even though he's from the arm out in Middlesex County. What that
exactly
means. I don't
know what that means.
The jersey?
The arm?
I think he probably means the armpit. I don't know.
Literally never heard that before.
You never heard the armpit?
No, I've never heard the arm.
Well, but he probably meant armpit and it either autocorrected or he didn't put the pit.
Then say armpit.
Has it been called the armpit where you're from?
I've not heard specifically Middlesex County referred to as that.
No?
Are you from Middlesex County?
But Jersey.
Are you from Middlesex?
Yeah, that's the county.
Oh,
yeah,
right. We don't know. All right, let's go to some of these Yankees calls. John in Westchester. Hi, John. You're on 98.7.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Dave. How are you guys?
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, good. I listen every morning, and I rarely have time to call in, but this morning my school's on a unexpected two-hour delay, and it's Alex's school. I know Alex, and his locker's right across from my hallway, and we talk about the show a lot. So I said, oh, I have some extra time today.
Nice.
Let me call in. I want to agree
with
you.
How's that Alex behaving in school, John?
I love Alex. He's a great kid. It's fun to watch him talk about. He's always talking about sports, lacrosse with his friends. He's really one of the good ones.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. I wanted to agree with you about Clay Holmes. I mean, I'm an avid Yankee fan, and he makes every game a heart attack. I was talking to my dad last night. We were saying hopefully they switch to Hamilton soon. Closing. Ian Hamilton's been lights out. I'm hoping ideal situation. When Cole comes back, they can move Heel to the bullpen and maybe let Hamilton close because Holmes is the scariest guy out there. So I hadn't heard anyone mention it besides me until I heard you mention it earlier.
Right.
So I wanted to agree with you.
All right. Well, thanks for the phone call. No, Holmes worries me. I don't think he's
you
great.
You say that, but you also heard what Aaron Boone said. He thought that Holmes was lights out.
Okay. That's fine.
No, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, when he loses his sinker and has no idea where it's going, of course that's going to make you nervous. I don't know, too, with the whole, like, moving Heel to the bullpen. With how electric his stuff is. I mean, I think Nestor probably has to pick it up here a little bit.
Nestor has to pick it up. That's right. I mean, Stroman is locked in and should be, right? I mean, Schmidt pitched well in his first outing. You're not going to move Rodon. You can't. But you know what's good? And again, I'm not throwing this out there.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Exactly. Right. Someone's going to get hurt, and you're going to you never have enough arms. And what's the old adage? You never have enough starting pitching?
No, that's absolutely right. Trust me.
Let's go to Jose in Queens. Jose, you're on 98.7.
Yeah, just wanted to agree with the caller before. I don't know what happened to Clay Holmes. You guys remember his first year. He was automatic. Mm-hmm. He was unhittable. So I don't know why Hamilton is like the new Clay Holmes. He has like the swagger when he comes off the mound after he strikes out three. So I do agree that Hamilton should be the closer, and maybe Clay Holmes could be a bridge from, I don't know, the starting pitcher to
I don't think it's going to change. And I don't think Holmes is bad. Like, I think Holmes is fine. I just don't think that in my mind, there's nothing special about Clay Holmes as a closer. Some of those other guys have more electric arms than Holmes does.
Well, you also had, I mean, you had Hamilton pitch 2 2/3 last night. I mean, is that something you want to?
Certainly not.
Right. Especially if you don't feel great about how much length your starting pitching staff has given you.
No, they have.
It's also
they're going to need all their bullpen arms.
I mean, it's also different. I mean, remember when we traded for Edwin Diaz? And we're like, this is a, I mean, this trade is not working out.
And then he was awful.
Then all of a sudden, it's like, we have the best closer in baseball.
He is absolutely phenomenal. just phenomenal.
It's not easy, man. What they do is not easy.
No, it's not easy, and it's a big. It's gonna be mental gymnastics. You come in with a one run lead. That's why guys that are good at it, nothing phases them. And I'm not even saying Mariano, but like the good closers, it's really remarkable.
Yeah, being put in that spot under that kind of pressure, knowing that one mistake and
that's it, and that's your whole job, and you. You might not get another chance for, on a bad team, 5-6 days. And now you got to live with that, the fact you just blew a save?
Right. Like, listen to what we're talking about today. I mean, they win the game. Now, I know it took them, it ends up taking them 11 innings, but for all those people that watched it and just didn't pick up the paper and looked at the book score, at the box score, they should have been out of that inning. Right? Like, I mean, we can say, just because you've seen a lot of Clay Holmes, that there are times where you don't necessarily trust him, but like they should have been out of that inning. That game should have been over.
Right.
Volpe makes that play. The throw ends up, tailing down the line, and Rizzo tags the helmet, ball pops out, and now all of a sudden, we're tied up again.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green, and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
This next few moments could get awkward, uncomfortable, and could produce great anger, is my thought.
Yeah, well, Rick, maybe he assumes of what he doesn't know. There was back channel discussion as to whether or not we should do this.
That's true.
Because we care about you.
I said, I actually said to RJ, do you really think this is a good idea? And he said, let's talk about it. I said, well, if you think this is a good idea, then we'll go with it. But I'm more than a little fearful that this doesn't play out well.
Do you want to know my honest answer?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if it's a good idea. Okay. We're going to do it.
Great.
And I don't know how
it's going to go. But doesn't that make good radio? If you're uncertain if it's a good idea or not, then you kind of have to do it.
I'm kind of leaning with Dave on this
one. Not if he leaves.
I may walk
out. I don't think you're
going to leave. No, because you guys didn't handle this right.
I don't think you're going to leave.
No, but you didn't handle this right.
What should we have done?
No, because you lead me into just pouring my whole heart and saying I'm taking all of it and putting it right in the table
right.
to set me up to play this.
It was not a setup.
How you led me here is not
right. I don't think that was the purpose at all.
Well, that's what he did.
No.
Yep.
I didn't know you were going to say what you said.
Well, listen, you may not have
and
to do it.
And RJ, confirm this is true. I had not one iota of responsibility for the audio that we're going to hear.
No.
I didn't even know it took place.
That's right.
Didn't even know it
all
took
right,
place.
So play it.
So we got to set it up.
Ugh.
So our former compatriot, our former co-host, you do realize that the microphones pick up everything, right?
There's no way they heard that.
Did you hear that?
Everybody heard it.
Everybody heard it.
It was that loud, huh?
He walks through life not understanding.
I can't really hear it.
We explained this to you the other day.
Yeah, I need some kind of partition.
Clearly.
He wants a COVID partition all the way up. All right, an audio partition. So our former co-host, Chris Canty, does his show now, Unsportsmanlike, with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman. And he's been very negative, very nasty, very anti-Aaron Rodgers for quite a bit. It takes a turn today. Here's Canty on your quarterback.
This guy is a cancer that's metastasized throughout the entire building in Florham Park. And I don't know why Jets fans can't see it. That's why I said your season is over before it starts. It's not about your talent. It's about what Aaron Rodgers makes your franchise. He is a culture killer. And because, from a production standpoint, he's not the same guy that he was 3 or 4 years ago when he won back-to-back MVPs, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. But guess what? Sometimes you gotta learn things the hard way, and Jets fans are gonna relearn that this season. 2023 wasn't a fluke.
What do you say to that?
What do you mean 2023 wasn't a fluke?
He was hurt.
It was four plays in and he ruptured his Achilles.
That's
the definition of a fluke.
If Aaron Rodgers completed 54% of his passes and led the league in interceptions and said, you know what? I can't run back with him. You didn't see him last year.
No, but you're pointing to the production that you saw his last year in Green Bay when he was dealing with a thumb injury.
The only thing I'll agree with,
the previous 2 years of that, he was back-to-back MVP.
I don't agree with what he said, and I don't. I mean, this idea that the season is over before it starts and they're not going to do anything, I think is ridiculous. The only thing I'll say is, it's been a couple of years since you've seen really good Aaron Rodgers. For whatever reason, thumb, Achilles, fine. It's been years, and now he's a 40-year-old quarterback. So that gives me some pause, but I still think this is a playoff-caliber team.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay? With this defense, last season,
yep,
doesn't blow out his Achilles and gives you 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 picks. Are the Jets a playoff team?
Competing for... I mean,
they won seven games with the worst quarterback play in the league.
Downside, competing four. Don't come after me because he said the guy's a cancer.
RJ, with that defense, almost 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 picks. Did the Jets make the playoffs last year?
I would think so.
Yeah, right.
I think they get.
That's the production that he's talking about. That's the bad production.
Of the thumb injury year.
With this defense?
Right.
Stop yourself. Zach Wilson, that pick, that was the cancer that metastasized inside that locker room. That's why you had to bring Aaron Rodgers in. It's not Aaron Rodgers is the cancer that's metastasized. That whole franchise has been a giant cancer.
They have.
And he was supposed to be the antidote, but he couldn't be because he blew out his Achilles.
And then it all completely spiraled and you had to be rushed to the hospital is what happened.
No. You said the Jets because when you were asked to give a list, the only name that you could put on that list that would actually have people talking was the Jets.
So
because it was a hot take.
So you think this is hot take-ish?
But, of course, it's hot take-ish. If I gave you, give me the five teams that have no chance before it starts. Will the Jets be on your list?
When I saw that the other day, I thought it was comical.
No. That's what you know.
How could you possibly put the Jets on a list of five teams that are done heading into the season right now? If you want to say there's question marks about the Jets, you know what? I think that's fair. There are. Tyron Smith is a question mark.
Yeah, right, but that was not the list. The list was teams that don't have a chance now that are done before the season
even starts.
I agree
with you.
The Jets wouldn't be close to that list.
It makes no sense. I mean, Giants, you could put them on the list. Patriots, Broncos, Panthers, those are teams that go on that list. To say the Jets are done now is just, it's just infactual.
Raiders don't have a quarterback.
Right. It makes zero sense.
No, this is why it makes sense, though, because we're actually talking about it.
Yeah, but you're not commending him for brilliant ideas and brilliant comments.
Of course not.
You're beating him up because you think what he said is nonsensical.
Every single person in that locker room, to a man, loves Aaron Rodgers. Loves him.
That's accurate.
I have never seen Mekhi Becton have the kind of response to someone like he did with Aaron Rodgers. The problem in the locker room over the last couple of years has been Zach Wilson. He's been the problem. That was the problem. And the only reason why we had to bring Aaron in and turn over
is
the franchise
to fix what was broken with Zach Wilson.
What you had already broke.
I don't understand. Listen, do I think that Aaron Rodgers is polarizing for fans and people around the NFL? I do. I think there's a lot of people that are turned off by him, and I understand why. I think there's a lot of people, especially if you're a Jets fan, that loves him. I get it. But no one within that organization seems to dislike Aaron Rodgers.
No, and the other thing, too, is there's no way a well-run organization that actually has a head coach that really knows what he's doing that would bring in someone like Aaron Rodgers and give them full control of the building. That's not how it works. That's another part of the bigger problem.
Right. The Jets were desperate for Aaron Rodgers. They needed him a whole hell of a lot more than he needed
them. Which is why he picked them.
Of course, because they were desperate, and he could do whatever it is that he wanted to do, and still will.
Yeah, lists of problems going on in that building. I mean, as much as you may not like Aaron Rodgers, there are a couple I could point to immediately that are a much bigger problem than Aaron Rodgers being your quarterback.
Jay Hennin tweets in, sheesh, sounds like that was personal for Canty. I'm not even a Jets fan. I disagree with that take, and a pro like him should never do the, quote, it's over before it's over take. Safe to say his takes aren't missed on your guys' show. Listen, I think Canty had a lot of good takes. I think this happens to be a pretty mediocre take, and I just don't...
No, I want people to talk about my take.
This is a hot take.
This is exactly what this is.
I'm going to get to a few calls. Do you want to belch or anything
Let me ask you a question now. And I don't know what his motivation is. Let me ask you a question. Who are the two biggest faces on ESPN?
Stephen A. Smith and Greeny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greeny has a show, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show.
I think so.
Great show. Greeny's favorite team of all the teams he roots for.
Jets.
Okay. So he sees a list like this. You don't think he's, hey, why don't we get Chris on the show to tell me why?
So you think by having this take, he's just trying to promote his own appearances all over the
Absolutely.
Place?
Absolutely. All right. It was the same reason why I thought that the Barnwell did the same thing. If you had the Jets, like if you were really being objective last season and you said, I believe this, and you said, I'll put the Jets third. All right, fine. I can buy Jets third.
Right.
Bills are really good. Miami's offense is great.
Absolutely.
I can understand it. No, but he didn't. He put them last behind the Patriots.
Right. Thinking that you're going to have a healthy Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, where was he? As soon as that list came out. Oh, look, it's Bill Barnwell on Get Up.
And by the way, who finished in last place without Aaron Rodgers?
The Patriots.
Right, exactly.
Right. And that's why I was so furious about it. Like, listen, I know what you're doing. I'm not stupid. You did it for a reason. And maybe you're smart because you're on TV and I'm not. But that's why you did it.
Well, why do you do something like that?
Because it's not in me to do that.
Yeah, I don't do that either.
I tell you my honest opinion.
I know. And therein lies the problem, is that we work in the den of honesty and other people are just trying to, I don't know. But I actually, see, I'll give Canty the benefit of the doubt. I think he believes it.
No, there's no
I think I think
he's
it's
too
a
smart.
Bad
he's too smart to believe
I
that.
I think it's a bad take that he actually believes. That's what I think.
He's too smart to believe that.
But this take will go up in flames if he's wrong.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't.
Ray, say what you just said on air.
And, there's no way Chris is saying that and he doesn't believe it.
There's no way.
How do you believe that?
Because that's
what
he thinks.
Smart. He is too smart a football person to believe that.
Listen,
their season's over before. They just won seven games with Zach.
I'm not telling you
Zach
he's right.
Wilson.
I'm not telling you he's right, but he obviously has reasons that he believes that.
There's no way.
Yeah, but
I don't
Ray,
think Chris
would you not
saying
say
that
this is
say it.
it's ridiculous?
I don't think it's the wisest take, but I don't think that he's spewing that just to say it. I think Chris actually believes
that.
So
you think that he's such a cancer that it's going to take away from the production of Garrett Wilson
and
Mike
that.
Williams
we
and,
don't
and
think
Hall.
That. He thinks that.
How could you think that, though?
How can I
you
answer
think Mike,
that?
You think Mike Williams thinks that?
No.
You think his defense thinks that?
No.
You think Sauce Gardner thinks
I don't
that?
Think Chris is right with this take, but I believe that's what he believes.
If you wanted to tell me you think Robert Saleh stinks and that Nathaniel Hackett stinks and that's why this team's not going to be good, fine. I'm on board with that. I don't know if Saleh's a good head coach. I think Nathaniel Hackett stinks.
I think RJ and I were batting this around. Like it's sort of like if it does happen, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying if that does happen, you get to be the one to sit there and say, see, I told you so. It's kind of like what I was saying with the Eagles all year. Remember how the Eagles looked how good all year? And I just saying like, I don't know. I don't buy it. And then when the Eagles fell apart, I got to say I was right. Well, same thing.
Well, you know
same
what? Thing. Then save this audio and we'll play it every Monday after the Jets game. And when the Jets go out opening week, whoever they play, and they beat them 31-7, then we'll play that audio the next day to make them look ridiculous.
No, but to say that he's the cancer that metastasized, that's ruining, that's ripping the organization apart is a crazy thought.
I agree with
because
you.
Because the Jets already had cancer before.
I think in Florham Park, they adore him.
But the Jets already had the cancer. That's why they had to bring him in.
He's the medicine against the cancer.
Right, it wasn't like, hey, well, look, we're so well run, and then we bring this guy, and then the whole thing falls. The thing was already falling apart.
It was crumbled. And it probably saved the jobs. Him getting hurt probably saved the jobs of these guys for another year because he wanted to continue to work with those guys.
Not probably. It absolutely saved the jobs.
I told you this would get you a little agitated. I told you. 1-800-919-3776. We still have another hour to go. That's the excitement of the day. It's 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from True Green. My mic's on, by the way, so you know, if you could keep down your... And that's nice. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game? Without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted source, choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. That's 5 decades. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is
DiPietro and Rothenberg.
RJ, get married again.
Ideally not.
Renew your vows.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You want to do another bachelor party?
Yes. I wasn't at your original bachelor party.
You were invited. You declined.
It was away, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, New Orleans.
I mean, mine was in New York City. Went to the Mets game in the afternoon. We went out to a nice dinner. Then there was a hotel room and some stuff happened there.
Oh, what kind of stuff?
Strippers. You know, that kind of stuff.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Those are my ladies.
On 98.7 ESPN. Shuffling.
All right, DNR, 98.7 ESPN. RJ, you happy with what you've done now? You put this audio on the screen. We teased it. We played it. Now you got Rick all in a frenzy here.
Kind of diabolical.
Yeah, very, very
diabolical. Listen, it's fine to have the opinion that you don't think the Jets are going to be, you know, good enough to win the AFC East or good enough to make the playoffs. But to have a list that says they have no shot before the season even starts and they're one of the top five teams, come
on. That's a hell of a proclamation. You're
well, that couldn't be more off base. I mean, if you said right now, give five teams that are done, I wouldn't even put the Jets in that conversation.
But that's clearly what when you have the opinion that something is going to happen that is going to just derail everything. You think it's inevitable.
But Aaron Rodgers has never derailed a football team with his anything. He's never derailed a football team. Even if they didn't like him in Green Bay, they were there every single year.
But his teammates
year.
Liked him, though.
His teammates
it
liked him.
It doesn't matter if the front office doesn't like him.
I agree with you.
Like, he's got... I mean,
Brian Gutekunst doesn't like him. Who cares?
The one thing that derailed his time in Green Bay was what he's been given in New York, which is actual, you know, say is what happens. Like, feeling like he's got, like, some kind of ownership of what's going on.
No, which I don't like.
I know you don't like, but that was one of the reasons why he's here.
Well, I understand that.
Because you already had a problem. Like, again, like, this is... You can have the opinion that you don't think the Jets are going to be very good. I'm fine with that. That's your opinion. Fine. But to say that he's going to be the cancer that rips the team apart, this was not a well-run, successful franchise before he got here. And then they brought him here, and because he's a cancer, it metastasized throughout the organization and brought it down.
But I also can't sit here. I mean, there's no way I would ever put the Jets on a list where I say right now their season is done.
No.
I think that's irresponsible.
I get it. But if you wanted people to talk about your list and you were of the opinion you don't think the Jets are going to win, why not put it on the list so people talk about it? Because you look like a hero if they don't. And no one's going to talk about it if they do.
Well, I think what we need to do more is when people have takes like this and they're not right, recycle them and bring them back.
Right, but it's the biggest problem with this industry right now is you can just go say what you want and you can be wrong and no one talks about it. Like Dan Orlovsky, I love him, but he says some of the most wild, craziest stuff you ever heard in your life and no one holds him accountable. What do you think about
Raymond
Justin?
Does.
Like, what do you think about Justin Fields this year? He's going to play at an MVP level.
Right.
That was the beginning of last year.
Well, that's bad.
Come on, man.
That's like, bad. Nick Chusano emails in, I absolutely love it when Rick gets this hot about a topic. He's got me ready to run through a wall in my cubicle right now. I love his passion. I love him. That's nice.
Well, I appreciate that, but it's just, I have a hard time believing that a person as smart as Chris looks at the Jets and looks at the rest of the NFL and thinks I should put them on a list of five teams that have zero chance before the season even starts.
Well, let's go to Mark in the car. Say good morning, Mark. You're on 98.7.
Good morning.
What's going on, Mark?
Good morning.
Nothing much. So I've been a listener for a good while, and I remember when Canty first started on the radio with Han and Humpty, and he said the Jets called him to sign him before he retired. And he said he'd rather retire than join the Jets. I think he just doesn't like the Jets.
Right, but which kind of speaks to my point already, doesn't it? Like, in his mind,
exactly.
The Jets were already an awful organization. So how is Aaron Rodgers the one that's responsible for that? He's not. The fact that they're an awful, awful organization that has no idea how to get out of their own way was the reason why you brought
Aaron
Rodgers
in. But I think that's fair. I think if you say the Jets are an organization that continues to put their foot in their mouth, you know what? I think that they have the longest streak of not making the postseason in all of professional sports. Like, that's an embarrassing number.
Well,
but
what if you view Aaron Rodgers as like the force multiplier for the dysfunction that the organization has had for the past decade plus?
What does that even mean?
Just because of the extra stuff
how is he going to multiply that though? Or for Mike Maccagnan? I don't understand.
Right, like whatever he does off the field that you would you say to yourself is a distraction to the team is not how the locker room feels about him. Like, there are plenty of things to point to that could lead to the, like, this season derailing. Aaron Rodgers being a cancer on this team in that locker room is not one of the things I would point to. Maybe it wouldn't. It would be the health of Tyron Smith. The health, like, Morgan Moses just had pec surgery. Like, I don't know when he's going to be back to being 100%. Mike Williams is coming back from ACL.
And they said he's not going to be healthy to start
right,
the season,
so I think
probably.
There are a lot of things. Aaron's coming off an Achilles.
If you want to say that I think that Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old and two major injuries will not be the same quarterback, fine. I buy into that.
All right, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But like, the drop-off in production. Okay, yeah, he had a season where he threw 26-12, almost 3,700 yards. Is that Aaron Rodgers? Like, no, but he was also dealing with a broken thumb coming off of back-to-back MVP seasons. And I'm telling you, with this defense, give me 3,700 yards. Give me the bad season. And I like my chances with this defense.
Let's go to Danny at Centerport. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. It's been a while. Rick, I'm glad you're on this stance because this got me fired up, man. I think that is the most ludicrous assessment of Aaron Rodgers that he could even come across. I respect Canty, and I really do. That is absolutely, the guy's a cancer. The guy's been nothing but a model citizen since the day he got here. He ruptures an Achilles. He still stayed with the team, just like you said, Rick. Give me the negative season, and we're a playoff team last year. We won seven games with a mess that we were. So anybody who thinks that this guy is not going to step in and make us a playoff team, I think we should have our chest pumped out. I do think that we should be the team to beat in the division. I'm not worried about the Bills. Yes, are they the team to beat? Yeah, they are, but they don't beat us, okay? I'm not afraid of them. And this team that he just put together, you just said it perfectly, Dave. It's about health, okay? If they stay healthy, just like any other NFL team, if they can't get injured, they have to stay healthy. But that assessment from Canty is a joke. The guy's a cancer. That is ridiculous. I don't know what his problem is with that statement, but it fired me up, and I'm glad you're taking his stance, Rick, because that's ridiculous. Yes, do we have some hills to climb? We certainly do. Health is the most important thing. But if we're healthy, we will contend with anybody in the AFC.
Well, here's my other problem, Danny. We're reacting to what we saw last year. Was the defense really good last year?
Yes.
Okay, we had Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian as our quarterbacks. Those were our three quarterbacks. We had 11 passing touchdowns.
That was pathetic.
11!
Watching the Jets' offense last year felt like it was setting the game of football back.
And Aaron was responsible for that. Or was it the fact that Aaron wasn't playing?
That's the reason.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you want to define fluke. Four plays in, popping his Achilles. I would define that as a fluke. Come on, man. Doesn't have a chance before the season starts. The only reason he was here is because Zach Wilson was such a disaster.
To save it.
Aaron Rodgers didn't trap Zach Wilson.
Aaron Rodgers has been here for four plays, for 10 minutes. The Jets haven't been to the playoffs in 13 years. You could sit here and go through all of the awful picks and the guys that didn't, and Mekhi Becton and Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold and, I mean, Mike McCagden, and you could go up and down on the
Adam
list
Gase.
That you choose. And, I mean, all of these guys, Aaron Rodgers would be the last guy that I would look at and say is the reason for the Jets' dysfunction. The last guy that I would look at for that. Danny in Long Island. Danny, what's up, buddy?
You know, I was going to call about something else, but this is absurd. Aaron Rodgers has played to a 650 winning percentage his entire life. He is who he is. He hasn't changed his personality, his comments. He has been nothing but a winning quarterback. And the comments are not only totally bizarre and hateful. Because to call somebody a cancer is not saying you're washed up. That's worse than washed up. That's like a malignant, you know, that's the worst. I mean, what else could you say worse than that? So clearly, Canty is emotionally involved or doesn't like his politics because whenever you bring your feelings into a situation, you're liable to screw it up. And I think it's just bizarre that this man gets the level of grief that he has. He played one play for the Jets. Four. There's no sense that he wasn't. He was all in. I'm a Steelers fan. He was all in. He was on the sideline trying to help Wilson. He did everything he could do. There's no. That came out of nowhere but a dark place. So it's got to be his personal feelings, and it got the best of him. As far as Diggs is concerned, you know, how many of these wide receivers get so on top of their skis that they think it's all about them, and they none of them seem to ever win a championship. We just watched a team win a championship without not just no one number one wide receiver. I couldn't even tell you who the three or four wide receivers on the Chiefs were. So as long as you have your quarterback, you'll be fine. Guys will get open. You'll find people. The way the NFL is designed now, my grandmother could run it down.
Well, hang on, Danny, with this as well. Firstly, Mahomes is better than anybody. Mm-hmm. Secondly, who's the Travis Kelce on Buffalo? I like their tight ends too, but it's not Travis Kelce.
No, they don't have Travis Kelce.
Right.
And they don't have Andy Reid either.
Right. So I would just, I don't know, man.
No, I think the point, listen, here's the thing. I don't necessarily agree with Danny, but I don't disagree with Danny. I think that a quarterback
makes the receivers better, yes.
Right. I think the offense, quarterback, all that stuff. I think really good quarterbacks can make, pretty good receivers really good. I look at Houston. I mean, we used that as an example already. I mean, you look at what Nico Collins and Tank Dell turned themselves into because of how good C.J. Stroud was. Yeah, that's possible. I think the disconnect between Steph Diggs and the point Danny was trying to make was Josh Allen wasn't very good until Steph Diggs got there.
And he's right.
So I think Steph Diggs probably takes a lot of credit. I even saw a tweet from Steph Diggs.
But what year did Steph Diggs go to Buffalo with Josh Allen? What year was that for Josh Allen?
That was year 3.
All right. So, but maybe Josh Allen would have taken that step regardless of it being Steph Diggs, right? Like, typically year 3, you do... Like, you knew Josh Allen was good, but he really turned that corner.
No, I don't know if you knew that Josh Allen was going to be that good.
Well, that good, of course. But Josh Allen, you knew was going to be a good quarterback.
Yeah, I think there was a thought that he was going to be a good quarterback. I mean, but the second or third best quarterback in the NFL, like the one, the quarterback just below.
But now he's at that level, right? He's at that top level of NFL quarterbacks. I think you'd argue it's Mahomes and then him.
Okay, so year one, rookie year, 53% of his passes, 2,000 yards. He played in 12 games, 10 touchdowns, 12 picks. All 16 games, second year. Less than 60% of his passes, 3,000 yards, 20 TDs, 9 interceptions.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a decent season. That's a decent season.
Okay. Steph Diggs shows up. Almost 70% of his passes, 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns,
right.
10 interceptions.
Right. But now he's that guy.
He's established himself. But what I'm saying, though, is in Steph Diggs' mind, because I even saw a tweet from him, and this is the reason why I'm saying it, is someone made the point that Danny just made. It's not the wide receiver, it's the quarterback. And Steph Diggs say, "You sure?"
I saw that tweet.
Right.
Maybe it was at the beginning of year 3. I think that Josh Allen is the quarterback now that he's now grown beyond needing to have Steph Diggs
but
as
if
his
you're
primary
Steph Diggs,
receiver.
And all of a sudden now you feel it slipping away because Josh has turned himself into what he is.
Right.
Offense is going in a different direction. We like the two tight ends. We like this. We like that. And I'm not getting the ball like I used to. It's kind of like the, hey, don't forget how you became who you are.
So you read his stats, right? He has more catches than anybody over the last 4 years. All right, so this year's postseason, 2 games, 10 catches for a combined 73 yards.
Right. No, you could see it coming. I mean, as the season, towards the end of the season, you could see it coming.
Yes, you
certainly
could.
He was not the focal point of that offense anymore.
Let's go to Alvin in Secaucus. Hi, Alvin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. But this is a message for ESPN, all right? They have to stop allowing people just to say things on TV or whatever it is, just to say it, just to bait people. It's corny to me already.
Because that's an ESPN-only problem, right? That doesn't happen
under
every rock you look
under. No, it's not. But ESPN is one of the biggest, right, sports entertainment networks, correct? So it has to start from the top to say, listen, we cannot have these people just to say, hey, just come up with whatever they want to say and just say it. I don't even know what to say anymore, because how are you going to say something like that? Being a professional, knowing football, Chris Canty's a smart guy. He knows football.
He is a smart guy.
Alvin, here's the problem, though. What can ESPN say? What could Fox say?
You can't say somebody can't say something.
But what's his opinion? I mean, it's an opinion that he has. Now, the only way to curb people from just saying things just so people talk about it or baiting people into a conversation is that there has to be repercussions after you. Like, you have to be held accountable for having an awful take. It doesn't just die.
I try not to have them. I've had awful takes. We have awful takes.
No, I know, but you announce yours as, this is a hot take. It's not like I have a book of Dave's rational takes.
Right.
You have a hot take.
Right.
And going in, sometimes it's like, it might sound crazy. It may hit,
it may not.
Like I
said, Paris Campbell's going to have 1,000 yards receiving.
Right.
In retrospect, it's one of the stupidest takes anybody could ever have had. Right.
Yeah, and I bust your chops about it.
Right.
But now, we're at a point now where you say something crazy so people talk about it, and if you're wrong, no one ever talks about it again.
Correct.
And you look like a hero if you're right.
Right. So if Aaron Rodgers goes 4-13 this year and the locker room is dysfunctional and falls apart, Chris Canty will be a hero.
But if it doesn't, and they win the division,
I think Aaron Rodgers is a hero.
Well,
hold them accountable then. Then call back in eight months and say, listen, remember when Chris said this and we're 7-0 right now?
I just can't do it. Like, I can't.
I don't
like,
do it either.
I can't even go through my Major League Baseball picks and just randomly pick, like, you know, I thought
the, we couldn't even put the Mets in the postseason.
Right, but I'm like, you know, maybe, like, I could see a couple teams having, you know, pretty decent seasons. I don't think they're playoff teams, but, you know, why not take a shot? Like, oh, how about the Pirates? I'll, you know, I'll have them win the division. No, because I don't want to look like an, because I don't want it to be wrong.
Right.
I can't talk myself into doing something that I don't truly believe
in. I agree. I think that's kind of the allure of the show for a lot of people. Corey and Edison. Hi, Corey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So there's a difference to me between a hot take and a personal take. And I think that's where, you know, we're kind of in with this. He clearly has something against Rodgers. And to me, you know, if they have some kind of beef, that's one thing. To me, it's more disrespectful to the other 20 guys that play offense and defense because, you know, the Jets had a top five defense last year, right? And they and arguably got better. So to say out of hand that a team that has a top five defense is done before the season even started is just disrespectful to the squad. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Well, I don't even think it's disrespectful to the squad. I think it's a ridiculous opinion or hot take or however you want to analyze it. It just doesn't make sense. If I said to you, anybody listening, before you learn that Canty had the Jets as one of their teams that are done before the season starts, if I walked up to a decent NFL fan and said, give me the five teams that are done, if I asked 100 people, I would almost say none of them would have the Jets on the list. None of them.
And we wouldn't be talking about those lists.
None of them.
No. It'd be like if you had a mock draft now. That came out.
Right. Mock draft comes out and I say, you know who's going to go one? Michael Penix.
No, or it's like, but Tannenbaum's starting to do the same stuff. Because he's learned the business. Like, oh, now you get it. Like, you got to say crazy stuff.
Well, I don't like it.
Like, you have Mel, whose job is to, like, he just gives you what he thinks.
Correct.
Like, he spends all this time. He's off the you know, pumpkin pie now because he's got to focus on what's going on. So he's like, listen, fellas, I'm telling you right now, these three receivers I have as, you know, three of the best five players in the entire draft. And then, okay, people have a hard time disagreeing with you. I've seen the tape. Everything looks good. And then you'll have someone come on. Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to go ninth. What?
Right.
Or if, like, then now all of a sudden you had, like, J.J. McCarthy. Caleb Williams. No, Chicago's taking J.J. McCarthy.
That's crazy.
But you talk about it.
That's crazy.
If you just have Caleb Williams as your number one pick, okay, well, that's what everyone else
has. I've seen some people that think if the quarterbacks go 1-4, there's a chance Marvin Harrison could fall to the Giants at 6.
Well, I think depending on... Well, you're going to get him or Neighbors.
Right.
I wouldn't be upset if you had Neighbors.
No,
if
I was he's you. A stud too.
Stud.
And so is Adunze. The Giants are going to land a stud at 6. It just depends who it's going to be.
Yeah, well, you'll still be disappointed if you don't get the quarterback.
Very, very much so.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
John's Bones Jones.
All right, stop playing the John's Bones Jones. Why'd I say it so, like, deliberately?
All right,
Jones.
I have no idea.
Probably because I threw you off by saying, all right, Jones.
Yeah. Which happened first, RJ, where I called him John's Bones Jones, or he said
John's Bones.
I said John's Bones?
John's Bones.
Well, let me hear that again. Not the music. John's Bones Jones.
Say John's Bones Jones.
John's Bones Jones. Oh, yeah. So this is Ian Begley. I like him.
I love him.
I like him personally. I like him professionally.
Let's call him. Let's have him on the show.
That would be up to you if you want to give him a cold call. Anyhow, Ian Begley has a podcast known as The Putback. I think there's a video element to it as
there
well.
Is.
And he said, and he doesn't make stuff up, so he must have heard this. He said, some people think that Randall should have had the surgery right when this injury happened.
I think the medical staff has been very careful here with this one, with actually getting him back on the floor. I do think there were some people who felt, you know, way back that he should have gone and had surgery right when it happened. And then maybe he's back at this point, or he's back a couple weeks from now at the beginning of the postseason. That didn't happen. And here we are with Randall just waiting.
Now, is that realistic to think? I mean, I don't know enough about this injury. But he got injured, what, end of January, I believe? So you look at it, February, March. That's 2 months.
Well, here's the thing, though. We don't know. I don't know what the injury is. But I'm assuming when you dislocate your shoulder, it's probably something with his labrum. And I've had plenty of people I know that have had that surgery. And it is a tough, long rehab with that surgery.
So,
I mean, they got hurt January 27th. You're looking at I mean, for a full recovery, at least 4 months.
So you're not gonna, you wouldn't have gotten it back?
At least 4 months.
So that's February, March, April, May. See, and you're not going to be alive in June, most likely, if he's not playing.
No, but that's, I'm giving you 4 months is like...
Well, Ian's not making it up, right? He's obviously hearing it from somewhere.
Which I don't know. So I don't know what was wrong with the inside of his shoulder. We don't know.
So call Ian.
I don't know if he knows.
Well, call him.
Exactly.
Find out. Do a cold call right now. Call him on the air. You got his number, right?
Why don't we call him so we can both talk to him, though?
Well, I could ask a question via you.
Why doesn't the show cold call him?
RJ, Raymond, you guys want to...
You want to cold call him and pull it up on the board?
Yeah.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't you think that's better?
That's something we want to do.
We could both speak to him?
I would like that. Now, my only concern is that, like, the phone rings, and then he's like, hey, you've reached 917-222.
We'll pull it down before that happens.
I don't know. That's my concern. So you're telling me I should not be concerned about that?
No, he's a professional.
Okay. All right. So then, yeah, we get Ian, talk a little Knicks with him, find out about this injury, say hi. I haven't talked to him in quite some time. I like Ian.
I would just like to say hi.
Yeah, well, I would like to cover everything. I'd like to say hi, and then I'd like to get to the bottom of where we are with this. Where are we with making this this cold call to Ian right now, Raymond? Are we making any strides? No, it sounds like
that feels like a stride.
We're
flashing it.
He hung up?
No, I think the phone hung up.
I don't know if we could put a dialing phone on the air. I think it has to be
can't.
Either answered or it has to be.
Yeah, I think you should answer it.
Well, you can't put a ring.
No,
No.
We're going to try.
Why can't you just call him and then put him on?
But that's not a cold call.
Same thing. We're cold calling. He's not expecting
the
call.
No, it's not a cold call.
All right,
call him on your phone.
I'll call him then.
Call him, hold it up to the mic.
Yep, I know how to do it.
Okay.
I'm not leaving a message.
No. Abort. If the voicemail picks up, you hang up immediately.
It's calling on our end.
It's calling?
I can hear it.
Right, of course, because they can do it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Ray did some magic.
Good job, Ray. This is clean.
This is real clean.
Okay.
Hello?
Ian Begley, Dave Rothenberg, Rick DiPietro, 98.7 ESPN. You're live on the air. Hi, Ian.
Oh, look at you guys.
Yes.
Sneaking up on me.
It worked. Welcome. You're part of a cold call segment.
Look at this. What an honor.
Yeah. Well, we love you. And I said moments ago, we love you personally and professionally.
Look, the feeling is mutual. That's why I picked up. I thought, look, maybe it's Dave and Rick. Maybe it's a producer who, you know, maybe I shouldn't pick up. But maybe it's Dave and Rick. I'd love to talk to those guys.
All right. Here we are. So we just played some audio that you played on The Putback, which is your wonderful podcast, video cast, where you said there are a lot of people that seem to... What'd you say?
I said, thank you, sir.
Of course. A lot of people seem to think that Randall should have had the surgery at the time of injury. Would you think realistically that that's a common theme around NBA circles? And secondly, would there be a realistic chance that he would be back this season if he did have that surgery?
Well, here's what I know. I know that people like involved in the process thought that surgery was a good idea. Some people. Now, there was a lot of people involved in the process, right? You had doctors, you had Randall, you had Nick doctors, you had the medical staff, you had outside medical people. I mean, Julius said on the record that he heard so many different opinions. One thought was get the surgery. And I think what happened was on social media, I think my guys clipped it when I said he could be back now. And then I corrected myself when I said a couple weeks from now. And the thinking was that 3 months, it's unlikely, right? It's unlikely. There have been some cases where you have the surgery and you could be back around the 3 month mark a little bit earlier. So not to suggest that he'd be back on the court today 100%, but just to suggest that, hey, instead of waiting and trying to get back, let's have the surgery right now and let's do our best to try to get back as soon as we can. Hopefully, first round playoffs, and then away we go. Obviously, they didn't make that decision, right? They decided to rehab it and try for the best, and they're sitting here today, still stuck with no contact for Julius Randle and kind of stuck in limbo, trying to figure this thing out. And as the days tick by, it seems less likely and less likely that you're getting a healthy Julius Randle back. Maybe you get a compromised Julius Randle back, but it just seems less likely that you're getting that Julius Randle that you had before he went down against Miami.
I got to think, though, Ian. So Dave and I were talking about this yesterday. I mean, to go through all that he's gone through to try to make it stable enough where he's not worried about getting dislocated again because he can always do the surgery. I got to think, like, the second he gets cleared for the, hey, full practice contact, that's like he's going to be back soon after that, right? Like, this is not, we don't need to see much contact in practice before we bring him back into a game to test this thing out.
You know what? All I know about that is the medical staff has been very conservative on Randle and on Ananobi. So I don't know specifically if it's like one day of contact and let's go, but just based on the nature that they've had here, this conservative nature, both of these guys, I would think that it would be more than one day. They want to have him take contact, see how he wakes up the next day, and then, you know, maybe do it another. I don't know, but I just know that they've been conservative conservative with both these guys, excuse me, OG Anunoby and Julius Randle.
He is Ian Begley. The Putback is his podcast, and of course, you can catch him on SNY as well. Covers the Knicks so splendidly. All right, so we've kind of covered Randle. OG, he came back. It doesn't feel right. What is your kind of anticipation of where this is going to land when he comes back? Because I got to imagine he's going to come back at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so, too. I think that I don't know exactly where the swelling is at the moment, but that's what it's about. It's about his comfort level. It's about the surgeon signing off on where the swelling is and the surgeon's comfort level with things. And again, I've been told that piece of it, they've been very conservative and trying to make sure that everything is right before he is back on the court. It's a little bit strange to me because you had the surgery to try to get him to that place where you're not going to be on and off the court, on and off the court. That was the idea in having the surgery so you can come all the way back. Did they rush back? I don't know, but this is not the outcome I think that they had envisioned when they decided to have the surgery. I think they thought he'd be all the way back and he'd be all right. Certainly not that he'd be missing eight consecutive games after coming back for two games. So, yeah, it's another one where I think they're being very cautious, very conservative. I think he's going to be back, but it's to me, that play that he got hurt on in the Portland game, it wasn't like a traditional basketball play, but it was a play that it's hard to avoid. He had his arm in there, excuse me, and it obviously didn't bend in a traditional way, hurt his elbow again, but that's not something that you can totally take away from if once you get back on the court. So I just wonder, how do you get to a place then where you can maybe avoid that contact and then be okay, or you can't avoid that contact and then are you out again once you get into that situation? So tricky situation. I think surprising that the surgery didn't totally fix it and we are where we are, but I think OG will be back at some point. I can tell you this though, Tom Thibodeau frustrated. When we talk to him about it, maybe he's just tired of my questions because I ask him about it every day, but he's frustrated not having these guys. Everybody who's healthy really wants these guys back, and that's where we sit right now.
I'll tell you what, we are not frustrated that we made this cold call to you. I mean, informative, fun, entertaining, it had everything. Ian, don't be a stranger. Let's do this again soon, please.
Hey, call me tomorrow.
All right, maybe we will.
We love you.
All right, bye, Ian.
All right, love you guys. Take care.
All right, that's the great Ian Begley.
And we got to go to break. This is the reason why I asked the question about the full contact thing. At this point, that ship has sailed, like the whole surgery thing. Like, right. If there was thoughts, hey, you know, we go crazy rehab, he has a surgery, 3 months, he can be back. That ship has sailed.
Right.
So the word, I mean,
that had to be done immediately.
I mean, like, how much do we care if how he wakes up from contact in practice? Like, he needs to play.
I think he's going to.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.